I want to thank Dr. Arsala Salomon joining us this morning. Dr. Salomon, good to talk to you again, sir. You've been well?
Thank you so much, Tom. Yeah, glad to be here.
Dr. Salomon, a breast surgeon with SIH, and it was a year ago when he and I met, and we're going to talk more about that moment, but I want to take a minute. Doc, I hope you'll be patient with me. I want to tell you a personal story, okay?
Yeah, please.
I grew up on the farm, and one of the jobs that I had, and for the sake of this conversation, we're going to call cancer, breast cancer, Johnson grass. Something that farmers have to deal with. If you don't stay on it, it will get out of control. And my job, my grandfather set me to this, was with a shovel and making sure that every single white root that you could find it down the dirt was dug out. All of it has to come out, Tomboy, or we will lose the farm. Johnson grass will take over. And I can't help but think that story over and over again in respect to COVID-19 and breast cancer. If you ignore it, it takes over. It's harder to the roots to get out. You don't know all the effects it will have. It will spread. And I think with COVID, people's concerns about healthcare and thinking, you know, the doctors are busy right now, I won't bother them. This story keeps haunting me. My grandfather saying, if you don't get it early, we can never get it out.
Yeah, Tom, I completely agree with you. I think it's a perfect analogy. You know, when the pandemic started, we just didn't know how it was going to behave. So we started shutting down some routine screening, not just for breast cancer, but for all cancers. And, you know, after looking at all the data nationally through March, April, and May, new cancer diagnoses were down around 80% across the country. And it's not like those cancers went away. It's just because people weren't getting screened and not getting diagnosed. So, you know, we've gotten past that at that point, at this point, and the pandemic, you know, you can argue either way if it's under control or not, but we've made, you know, efforts to make things safe for patients to, you know, get screening and get diagnosed and get treated. We never stopped treating patients. So I think it's really important if your screening got delayed or if you have something that you're concerned about, I think it's important to know that the facilities are safe and there's you know, safeguards in place to make sure you're safe in terms of COVID when you come into facilities to get screened. So it's really important not to delay things, because I personally think we will have, you know, in the next year or so, some more advanced cancers that we're going to find and try to get ahead of.
Yeah, and that's literally that 80% number startles me. Because I envisioned stage one, what would have been a reasonable expectation to catch someone in stage one may now be a stage three. That's kind of, in the briefest sort of way, that's how I look at it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, because think about it. That's why we do a mammogram every year, right? So we can, you know, we can catch something in that stage zero or stage one. But now we have had some people delay screening, so and there's no guarantee that they'll come back next year. So now you're looking at a 1 to 2 year delay of diagnosis. I completely agree with you that what you could have had, which should have been a stage one, can now be a stage two or stage three or even worse, honestly.
There's one thing that I've learned, you know, over the period of time of watching this story and watching our ability to deal with it, and that is the BRCA gene, BRCA gene. And this is something that we've really seen grow. And you can tell, one of the reasons I kind of say, when I say grow, is that people are so confident, the research is so good, that a woman says, because I have this gene, I would have my breasts removed. This gives you an insight into the reliability of getting this genetic testing and seeing if you have that gene, and then looking at your family history and genetic predisposition. This is the literal getting ahead of the bullet.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you know, 10% of breast cancers are related to a genetic abnormality, at least the genetic abnormalities that are known as of right now. Are there other genetic abnormalities out there that are not known, probably. So 10% have that BRCA1 and 2 gene. Another 30% of patients that get diagnosed with breast cancer have breast cancer run in their family. So it's really important to identify risk factors and, you know, assess your risk and see if, you know, genetic testing is something that will help you manage your risk better. We all have some risk factors that we can't change, right? So we can't change the fact that, you know, half the population is female. We can't change the fact that we're older. If you have a personal cancer history, if your breast density is high, or the most important of all, if you have a lot of family history of breast cancer, those are things that you can't change, and you just have to get ahead of it to reduce your chances of getting cancer.
Do you have to deal with myths about breast cancer with your patients? I mean, the reason why I ask this, I can remember a story that came out it's been a number of years back that said that they could diagnose the likelihood of breast cancer because of the shape of your breast. And they broke it down into melon and pear and different shapes. And, you know, I mentioned that to a doctor a few years later, and he's like, where did you read that? And I get the suspicion that maybe there are more myths like that out there that you may have to deal with on a more regular basis.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's, you know, people spread a lot of information that, you know, there's a lot of information on the internet. Some of it is very good, some of it not so good, and some of it just false. You know, in terms of where breast cancer can be diagnosed in your breast, yeah, certain locations in your breast, like the upper outer quadrant of your breast, you know, have a higher likelihood of you getting a cancer there. But otherwise, the shape of your breast, the size of your breast, none of that really matters. Women who have bigger breasts are not at bigger risk for breast cancer just because they have more breast tissue. It goes back to all the other risk factors, some which you can change and some of them which you can't.
Yeah, and I'm curious about that because you and I talked about the BRCA gene. I mean, and I don't know that anybody knows. Maybe you. We're speaking with Dr. Arsala Salamant this morning. He is a breast surgeon with SIH. Is breast cancer gene meets environment equals cancer? Is that too easy of a formula?
No, I think that's what I always tell my patients. It is sometimes good to look at things in a simple way, you know, of things you can change and things you can change. So if you have the gene, you're at much higher risk for breast cancer. So if your average risk for breast cancer for an average woman in the U.S. is about 12 to 13% lifetime, so 1 out of 8. But if you have the BRCA gene, that risk goes up to 70, 80% for your lifetime. And that's a risk you don't want to take. Now, are there things that you can change? Yeah, when patients get diagnosed with BRCA mutations, we can do enhanced screening on them. We can do risk-reducing medication, we can do risk-reducing surgery, but there's also certain things that the patient can do that are what we call modifiable risk factors for breast cancer. So try, you know, increased body weight is a risk factor, decreased physical activity is a risk factor, alcohol use is a risk factor. If you've had exposure to hormones or if you had your first child above the age of 30, those are all risk factors, you know, that can be changed. But again, if you do have a genetic abnormality, then you're always at higher risk than the average population.
That gene risk therapy, when you start categorizing risk, I've read a couple things that talks about how helpful this is, in particular, women under the age of 40. Is that true?
Yeah, definitely. You know, because if you are positive, then your chances of getting more aggressive cancer at an earlier age is also higher. So for an average person, we say, okay, you start getting a mammogram at age 40. But if you have those BRCA mutations, or if you don't have the BRCA mutation and you're just at high risk for breast cancer based on your family history, we start those screenings much earlier, you know, usually 10 years younger than the youngest person in your family that had breast cancer, or we start at age 30. So, you know, with MRIs and mammograms.
Right. And you know what? It was interesting because my sworn enemy is pancreatic cancer. I've lost a number of friends to pancreatic cancer, and I'm not a big fan. So I have experience and done a lot of reading on the internet and spoke to doctors about it as well. And when I walked away, my takeaway was in pancreatic cancer, there are basically 4 strains. And the last 2, the worst strains, they're bad. They are aggressive. they're going to come and get you, right? One of my friends was diagnosed with the latter, the worst of that strain, and as he walked out of the hospital, he called me, and the doctor said, told me today, if I've got anything I want to do, I better do it now. And he said, don't put it off for a week. We say now, right? Is there an analogy between that and breast cancer? I mean, how many different sites are they? How aggressive? I mean, is there a way to explain that as briefly as I did on pancreatic cancer when it comes to breast cancer?
Yeah, obviously pancreatic cancer still, unfortunately, has the worst outcomes. Breast cancer is kind of the opposite of all the treatments and tools that we have for us. So, yeah, so breast cancer, the way I always talk to the patient is that every person's cancer is a little bit different, and it's individualized to them. So we characterize cancers, into different phenotypes and try to treat them according based on not just the size of the tumor and if it's spread anywhere else, but also the characteristics, the biology of the tumor. So it's really important for us to identify all that information and then target the therapies to your specific type of cancer. And yes, you always don't want to delay treatment and sit on something, even if it's something that's low grade and early stage.
All right. Now, whenever this has been a few years back, Dr. Solomon, that I was looking for a gene therapist to talk about this, and the closest one I could find was in St. Louis. Have we gotten someone that's able to do some of the high-end gene work here in Southern Illinois in our system, especially when it comes to the BRCA gene?
Yeah, absolutely. So if anyone is concerned about that, they can make an appointment with us. You know, I either see the patient or our nurse practitioner who kind of specializes in seeing the high-risk patients. We evaluate you. We put you through risk models, calculate your lifetime risk of breast cancer. And then we have the genetic testing available here. We give you the kit. You just go to the cancer center and have your blood drawn, and we have the results in 4 or 5 business days.
Wow.
And then afterwards, we set up a phone call with the actual genetic counselor to discuss the results. So all those things are available here. There's really no reason for someone to have to drive 2 hours just to get that information or, be evaluated.
Because it was not always that way, so that's good news. Here's some questions from our listeners, the American Monument text line. Here's a question for Dr. Solomon. How common is breast cancer in men? Are symptoms and detection the same as in women?
So generally breast cancer is driven by estrogen. And lifetime risk of breast cancer for men is much lower because we don't have that exposure, cyclic exposure to estrogen. So the lifetime risk of breast cancer for a man is generally less than 1%. When you do have that BRCA mutations, that risk goes higher. So it gets close to 7%. So it's not zero. It's never zero. Do we have routine screening programs for males? No. But if you're at a high risk for breast cancer, if you do have that BRCA mutation, then you should definitely be at least seen by a cancer provider, once a year for a physical exam. And if you're a male that does have, breast tissue that one can examine, then even mammograms are appropriate to perform.
Here's another question for a listener. It says, could you please ask Dr. Solomon, we've raised millions and millions and millions of dollars for cancer research to find a cure, and we still don't have a cure. Are we any closer? Because once upon a time, Dr. Solomon, when somebody said cancer, it was one thing. And now we know cancer is being hundreds of different things that fall under the heading of cancer. So we're looking for a cure. Are we any closer?
Yeah, so I agree with you. So not only every cancer is a little bit different, every breast cancer is a little bit different. So I don't think there is a magic bullet for treating all cancers, but we've made such progress in treating so many different types of cancer, including breast cancer. So there's a type of breast cancer called the HER2-positive breast cancer, and those patients used to have the worst prognosis, but drugs were developed in the last 20 years, and now those patients have the best prognosis. Some patients might even be, able to avoid surgery in the future, by taking really effective drugs. Now we're doing immunotherapy and gene therapy. So I don't think it's one answer of oh, yes, we're going to find a cure for cancer. It has to be specific to the cancer and specific to the patient. But I think the progress has been incredible, really, in the past 30 years.
You know, when you get, and when you, because there's different kinds of success. And very often, whenever I learn about a friend who's maybe experiencing cancer one form or another, the first thing I go look is five-year survival rate, five-year rate survival, 10-year and 15-year survival rates. And breast cancer is a fine example of seeing those 5- and 10-year records broken.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can look at breast cancer survival rates. Stage 1 and 2, you're looking at well above 90% at 5 years. Even for later stages, you know, you're still looking at survival rates that are above 60% at 5 years. And that 5 years kind of sometimes scares the patient. The reason we use 5 years is that that's because we have the best data for 5 years, because we tend to closely follow patients who get diagnosed for breast cancer for 5 years. But that doesn't mean that most of those patients aren't doing really well at like 10, 15, 20 years. So I think that five-year survival kind of sometimes scares our patients.
Yeah.
So it's important for us to explain that correctly.
Yeah. Before I wrap up today, I want to touch on one of the more significant issues which you and I have not talked about, which I think sometimes I can be, and I've used this in the studio before, that men can't understand breast cancer until their testicles are on their chest. You know what I'm talking about, Dr. Solomon. There's a psychological component to breast cancer that doesn't exist in other cancers because of the link of sexuality and self-esteem. Now, whenever I was preparing for the interview today, I started meeting some of your coworkers and associates and people you've worked with. And they were very passionate about their praise of you. And praise was the precise word. One woman told me, works with you, that I've never seen a doctor who is so personally invested in every single patient. And when I talked to other, including coworkers, they really had a lot to say about how much you care for the patient. And I thought, what a great thing to say about a person who not only has this mechanical aspect, the surgeon aspect, the removal, you're unconscious, but caring for somebody who's been wounded by breast cancer and not only the threat to their health, but the psychological threat that, as I said, I don't think many men can quite understand because of the sexuality and that self-esteem issue. This is something you've had firsthand advice. I don't think there's another cancer that maybe has this psychological component.
No, I agree. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I work with a lot of really good, dedicated people here, but I think it's just important to kind of put that aside of, oh, I'm a man, I can't get this, and if there is a concern, to bring it to the attention of someone, and let us take care of it. We can diagnose things early. We can take care of it. It doesn't matter if you're male or female and where you come from or where you live. You just have to reach out to us, and we'll do everything possible.
Well, you know, because it wasn't all that long ago, depending, of course, how old you are, that when that breast cancer was the word that was going to be said next was mastectomy or double bilateral mastectomy. You don't hear these terms as much as you once did, and there's a reason why, and this comes back to the question we had, is there a cure? Because the cure has been incremental.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's been tremendous research. It used to be that if you did get diagnosed with breast cancer, not only, we would do a huge surgery on you, take your breast up, but we will also take the muscle on your chest and take all the lymph nodes under your arm. But now, these days, we barely have to do that because we've developed, other treatments, and we've, done research that shows that doing less achieves the same result. And that's what I always try to emphasize. Whatever we do in breast cancer has been done in such big clinical trials, and it has such strong data behind it that almost there is no guessing game in taking care of breast cancer, and because we have such good information.